Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, hey, Los Angeles. I am coming to do a live event in Santa Monica on April 24th in the evening. I'm so excited to get to hang out with you again. If you want to get your tickets, they are priced to sell out. You can go to markgroves.com/Los Angeles and go get them now. And I can't wait to see you there. We're going to hang out for an evening of intimate conversation, live coaching, all that jazz. Looking forward to it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. I think we all understand that money has an emotion to it, right? Like it triggers us emotionally, but it also triggers us on a nervous system level. And I obviously, like you, have been really curious about our capacity to hold more, our capacity to hold abundance, our capacity to hold more love, more joy, more possibility. And we often limit what our capacity is based on the capacity of our nervous system. So we know that there's the saying that money is the number one cause of divorce, and it's not money that is, it's that there's different stories about money, and we need to be able to translate these things to someone saving, you know, they might never want to do because they weren't allowed to have anything, and maybe their parents were really strict with money, and to someone else, overspending causes a lot of fear because that's what a parent did when they were younger and they were always stressed about money, right? And these two people could end up in relationship and then really stressed about each person's way that they orient to money. But on a deeper level, I'm really curious about our personal relationship to money ourselves. Because ultimately, even the triggers that come from money in a romantic relationship will end up just revealing our own challenges with money. So I wanted to have on someone who's an expert at looking at the layers of the nervous system, of triggers. You know, there's this idea that I've also been playing with of what does it mean to really step into abundance, to actually have an abundance mindset, to really be mindful of the way my mind works, the narratives I have, the beliefs I have. I remember Alan Watts saying that in the Great Depression, there was no less money. It was just the way people behaved around money that changed. And, you know, I think that's something we all need to just take into account. It's not minimizing people's challenges monetarily, but saying, what can I do? And I know I grew up with a lot of beliefs about wealthy people. And then those were beliefs that were shared within friend groups. And there were also, you know, things that I heard in family about people with money. And so it has prevented me from actually gathering wealth because of that. Because what does it mean to be wealthy? What are wealthy people like? And of course, we can clearly change that narrative. But when it's coded into our unconscious mind, the amount of fuckery we can do to destroy our potential and to get in the way of actually holding on to wealth, letting our nervous system experience abundance. And money is correlated to safety. If losing your voice threatens the stability of your relationship, just recognizing that money is correlated to safety. Of course, the more you make, the more safe you feel because you can cover baseline needs. And there's, of course, a certain amount of money that you make. And after that, it doesn't really matter. You're not getting more. You're getting more stuff, but you're not experiencing more exhales and regulation. So I wanted to interview someone who could walk us through this. Let's learn how to make some easy money, right? Let's learn how to expand our capacity for more. So with all that said, today's guest is Kate Northrup, who is an incredible teacher and an incredible friend. I'm so excited for you to hear this episode. You're going to learn so much. Please share it far and wide so everyone can make some easy money and heal their nervous system in relationship to the dollar bills, y'all. So make sure you hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to this podcast. Let's go. Here we go. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today, I am joined by Kate Northrup.
Hello.
Hi.
Kate, just to preface our conversation and why you need to listen to this, is a master of relationship to money and also how that interweaves or is interwoven with the nervous system, which I think when we think of money, we don't think of the nervous system because who's thinking like, are you writing checks that your nervous system can cash? Do you know that line from Top Gun?
Yes.
You're writing checks your body can't cash, Maverick. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one's thinking that. Like, oh, my nervous system's correlated to my bank account.
Yeah. No one. No
Who
one.
Said that?
No, just me.
Yeah. So let's get into it because I think this is a great thing for everyone to learn. And also how that is correlated to connection and relationship.
Yeah. It's such a big topic. And I grew up in the personal development world and really learned a lot about mindset work. And when it comes to money, there's so much in my industry about money mindset work.
Yeah.
And the misunderstanding that we have is profound, right? So most of the world, like muggle world, is thinking like, okay, if I want to change my financial situation, I need to just like make more money.
Right.
Or be better at spending. Like, or I just need to find the right software.
Make more, app. Spend less.
Sure. It's very similar to the food conversation where it's like, oh, if you want to lose weight, you just eat less, workout.
Yeah.
It's not so simple with money either. So there's like a huge part of the world that's just like, it's all behavioral.
Yep.
And then there's another smaller subsection that is like, no, you just need to change your mindset. Mm-hmm. You just need to change your thoughts.
Right.
And what I came to realize, I was in that camp. Although I was much more in the camp of like, it's actually our emotions around money. Mm. But what I've learned in my research and my own personal experience is that every single emotion we have is mitigated first by a nervous system imprint. And, you know, the nervous system is the brain in and every this neural network. It's essentially like our electrical wiring in the body. So our emotional experience is mitigated by our neuron patterns. And then every belief we have started in an emotional experience, and our thoughts are a result of that, and our behavior is a result of that. So if we really want to change our relationship with money, I think it's just, I know we got to go all the way back upstream and start at the level of the physiology. And what I've come to understand is that we can't actually just like change our thoughts. We have to feel our way into the transformation that we want, whether it comes to relationship, money, our health, like any of it. This idea that we can do it at the level of cognition alone is just not actually based on the most current data.
How do you do that? Like, how do you, because of course we would think, oh, just start with affirmations or start with, you know, I love money and money loves me, which actually does feel good.
It can feel good, although if that thought is in opposition to what's called like our neuro tags. So our neuro tags are like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
So our neuro tags are a series of neuron like patterns that you have a stimulus, and then this whole part of your brain and nervous system light up in a habitual way.
Yeah.
And the more often that neuro tag is repeated, the deeper it gets, like the more myelinated, the thicker, the more dense it gets. So like, for example, I was on this sailing trip. I lived on a schooner and I was part of the crew. And the first night out, we were in really heavy seas and it was really intense. And that night I had had cold cuts for dinner. So,
oh gosh.
Yep, exactly. So to this day, because I got so sick for 5 days, it was not because of the cold cuts. That's not what caused the sickness. But because I have a neuro tag in my nervous system associating feeling nauseous with cold cuts, when I say the word cold cuts, I feel a little nauseous.
Do you actually?
Right now. Yes, right now.
You're back on the schooner?
Like I can't. Yeah. And I just it's illogical. Yeah. Right. Like that's not logical, but the body remembers.
Right.
And so we have to understand that when it comes to money, we have neurotags. So if you think about like what happened in your childhood growing up around money, what was the general feeling? What were the emotions? What were the experiences that you had? For most of us, we have some pretty intense emotional history when it comes to money, because it's so deeply interconnected, as you said, for women with safety and freedom, for men with power and status, yeah. Right? And so it's like deep in there. So first we have to really understand like, okay, an affirmation, if it is in opposition to our neurotags, which is how our beliefs are wired into us, mm-hmm. our body will actually experience a new thought as a threat, because it's out of sync with like what's actually wired into us. So being challenged in our beliefs, even learning new skill sets around money, trying a new behavior, getting out there trying to make a sale, actually our body will experience it as a threat and a stressful scenario if we don't know how to work with ourselves on a deeper level.
So if I have a belief that money is not safe, it doesn't love me, it leaves me, it's right. connected to stress,
yeah.
strain, we never have enough. It's the lack of it is actually what has always driven me.
Yeah.
But I never seem to be able to get out
right.
of this struggle. And I get an assigned affirmation from Mark, which he would never give you now that he's been told all the neurotag stuff. But he would, and I say something like, I love money and love money yeah. loves me. I will unconsciously for sure experience a rejection of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm really curious, how do you take like your schooner experience or like that type yeah. of statement and begin to work on the yeah, level of the totally. Nervous system? And how do you see this correlating to like the struggles of, I would imagine, most people in relationship to money?
Yeah. Okay. So I will just be fully transparent. I haven't done nervous system work around my neurotag with the cold cuffs because it hasn't been
like, does not have
it hasn't cuffs. Been a high priority. I just like.
So you don't hang out with charcuterie boards?
Yeah. Charcuterie is okay because it's like fancy.
Oh, you're talking about.
Oh my God.
Like
my husband's from the Midwest
stuff.
And he's just like, when I make a charcuterie board, he's like, yeah, so it's like lunch meat.
Like,
No, babe. This is like really
charcuterie is
this
so
is like Italian salami. This is like really nice for sure. He's like, it's lunch meat. Like, no.
You're like, listen, okay.
So I'm good with charcuterie, but not no. We're talking.
I know
like,
what you mean. That kind of
it
like,
was like
folded up bologna kind of stuff on a boat. Oh man,
terrible. The worst
boat bologna. It sounds awful.
Oh my God. The listeners will never forget.
Right.
I have a neuro tag about the boat bologna, which I haven't worked on because it hasn't been
it's
a high priority.
It's not a priority. Yeah, yeah.
But I will tell you, like, for example, one of the places, you know, do you have a lot of entrepreneurs who are in your community or you have a whole mix?
Yeah. Yeah. A mix of people, but there's definitely a lot of entrepreneurs.
Okay. So let's say, so scenario that anyone I think can relate to, either you're like negotiating for a raise at work or negotiating for a higher salary when you sign on to a new job,
yeah.
or you are in a position where you're asking for a sale or doing some kind of pitch, right? So we're like in these moments where we are trying to receive money, right? Mm-hmm. That brings up all the neuro tags, all the neural patterning. I've personally had the experience of for years, I was in a sales business. I would just do this most incredible presentation, and then I would blow the sale every time. And I would walk away. It wasn't the worst, but it wasn't good.
Right.
And I would walk away
You're
being like,
proud
like
about
I
the
blew
sale,
it
and then you don't
again.
Close it.
Again. Yeah. Like, and I couldn't, there was no amount of like studying how to make a good pitch that I would practice it. I would like, whatever. I couldn't get myself because our nervous system is running our unconscious. And on an unconscious level, it didn't feel safe to me to make over a certain amount of money because in my experience, when my mom's career started to take off, my parents got divorced. So it was just like this fundamental, like it is not safe.
The more money
to be,
I make.
The more money I make, I'm going to end up alone.
Wow.
Right? Like financial success causes loss of love. And so that's where I began to work. It wasn't, I will say, what I love about the nervous system, I don't know if you know anything about like the recovery world, but in the recovery world, they say, polish over here, shine over there.
No, I didn't know that.
Which I just love this whole philosophy of like, any area you're working on and doing your healing on, it kind of like improves all the areas.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah,
very true.
It really does.
Yeah, like you heal money stuff, you'll heal love
100%.
Stuff.
You work on your health, you get better in your marriage. I mean, all just, it's like all the same thing. I mean, ultimately, like, I think we're all just trying to reconnect to source. But I did not need to work specifically on like every single memory or like every single little piece of content. If I could signal to my body that I am safe, like we can signal, I'm happy to, you know, we can walk through something, but like, okay, if you can learn to tell your body that it is safe, that there's not like a threat of a saber-toothed tiger coming when it's associated with negotiating, making a sale, making a bigger amount of money, whatever it is. So I would work on like small, little doable pieces of, okay, I'm going into a situation where I'm getting all tripped up about feeling nervous about expanding financially. I don't need to talk myself out of it. Affirmations are not going to help. I'm not going to tell myself to calm down. I'm not going to try to logic my way out of it. It's like, okay, if my body doesn't feel safe, I just need to learn to signal safety. And then it more or less like takes care of itself because our bodies know health. We are nature. Like, and nature knows health. Nature's baseline is well-being. And we've forgotten that as humans. We're so disconnected from our origins as animals. But the truth is when we can like really come back to that felt sense of safety, not a thought I am safe, but a feeling of safety, we can really like expand beyond our wildest imaginings in terms of certainly abundance, but everything else.
As spring unfolds in the Northern Hemisphere, for those of us who have endured the winter, it's time to swap out our essential gear for warmer days. And a key part of this transition is replacing my cozy winter duvet with something that is lighter. And the Cloud Knit blanket from Cozy Earth is definitely my top pick for that. This blanket strikes the perfect balance. It keeps me warm during the lingering spring chill, and it's light enough for the rising temperatures. What sets Cozy Earth apart is their commitment to quality and comfort. Every item they create is exceptionally soft and designed for temperature regulation. Plus, the machine washable feature ensures convenience without compromising the texture. In other words, there's no snags on textiles like the knit of the Cloud blanket. Crafted from premium materials, Cozy Earth's products are ethically made, reflecting their dedication to responsible production. And what truly resonates with me is how Cozy Earth goes beyond creating fantastic products. They embody values like living well and serving others and weave these principles into each item they produce. So speaking of their serving heart, Cozy Earth has generously offered for our listeners to get a massive 40% off all their products. Just head over to CozyEarth.com and use the code MARK at checkout. That's CozyEarth.com and use MARK for 40% off.
What do you think, what percentage of humans are struggling with that nervous system relationship with money, do you think?
Oh my God, I feel like everyone.
Everyone except for Elon?
I mean, I don't know. But
might have some relationship stuff, I'm not sure.
I think that like the assumption, okay, but that's really interesting that you said this because we make an assumption, I'm not saying you're doing this, but I know that I have in the past and people do, that the more money you have, you don't have money issues. And that is an illusion.
Yeah, that's true.
Because more money does not solve our money problems. It's just like if you have a leaky bucket and you just turn up the faucet, the water is just spilling out faster.
Right.
And so we know a million stories, you know, we're here in LA, right? Like we know a million stories of celebrities who made tons of money, lost it all, or who had this expectation. And it's a very common story, like, oh, I made all this money. I thought finally I was going to feel whole and complete, but like ultimately no amount of money will ever make us feel the way we want to feel.
Right.
We can only feel that way. We can only find that feeling inside to begin with. And then, like, sure, if more money comes along, I think we get to enjoy it more. But, like, ultimately, no amount of money is going to fix your issues other than up to a certain amount, right? Like, if you don't have food, if you don't have shelter,
right,
for sure more money is going to help.
Yeah.
But once our basic,
like, an amount,
there's
right?
absolutely an amount.
I think in the research, there's like an amount that once you go past.
What I've read, like, it's about 75K US dollars at the time of this recording.
Before the last few administrations.
No.
I'm Canadian. I get to say that.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Well, we got
show.
Some inflation in Canada, so yeah. Not that it isn't here.
But
I'm like, 75 grand? Does that go really far anymore?
Well, it depends on where you live.
Yeah.
If you live in, like, Omaha, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably a baller.
But if you live in Miami, no, you can't.
No,
it's really
not.
So like, it's completely relative, but I think we really need to understand that, like, fundamentally, everyone has money issues and more money does not fix them, because that feeling of scarcity, that feeling of, like, oh my God, I'm not going to have enough, or oh my God, I'm going to be a bad person if I have more, or someone's not going to love me, or somebody's going to want this, or whatever.
Or your relationship.
It's not about the money.
As you get more powerful.
All of it.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were saying I signal safety.
Yeah.
So considering all of us talking to you right now have money issues.
Yeah.
How?
Including myself. Right? I mean, I carry on this journey.
Well, it's like you just keep up-leveling.
Just keep up-leveling.
But, like, how do you identify what your money issue is?
Yeah.
And then how do you signal safety? Because okay. In a sale, oh, my gosh, that's hard. You know, when you're asking to receive money for something,
yeah,
that's challenging.
It can be.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be. So how do we know what our money issues are? I mean, a lot of people just know right now, just listening. But
yeah, that's true.
Right. Like,
that's true.
It's, you know, the common ones I see are sticking your head in the sand, like being really vague or just ignoring it and not knowing your numbers. That's really common, especially with, like,
the ostrich.
Yeah, the ostrich. And it's really common with people who are really good at making more money. Because it's like, oh, there's just more where that came from, which is true. And also, like, why wouldn't we be a beautiful, loving steward of what we've already brought in?
So true.
Right? Like,
I was for sure this, though.
Like, same.
I'm like, la, la, la.
Yeah, like, la, 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 la. And for women, it's, like, really common of this illusion, even though it's unconscious, very common, this kind of princess complex of, like, oh, at some point, someone's going to come along and handle this for me, so I never have to be a big girl, right? So that comes up for women. I don't know really what comes up for men about it. What do you think?
I think for us, there is like an innate responsibility that we feel from the programming of, like, I need to make money to have value, to have a high perceived mate value. Yet society says that if I do that, I should be actually seeking equality. So there's, like, these contrasting messages.
Oh, yeah.
Where I think we also source safety by weaponizing money, right? Like, using it to control.
Yeah.
Which often still very much happens. I need to save somebody with my money, create codependent hooks. But the thing I really see men struggle with is this idea that if they don't make enough, they're not a viable partner choice, which... there is truth to that. Like, there's not that they aren't, but that they are perceived as not. But that worth stuff that you're talking about, Court, that's deep worth. That's like, can I separate from the evolutionary story that says if I'm not making money, then women won't choose me. And it's true. Some women won't. But once you do self-worth work, you don't want those ones anyways who just choose you for your money.
Exactly.
Just like women being chosen just for their looks or whatever it might be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated, but it is very common that we overcouple worth and what's in our bank account.
Yeah.
Worth with what we've made, worth with our launches, right? Like, this is something that I've come
up
against.
When they flop.
Yeah, when a launch flops, I mean, I've really needed to work on the unraveling, and it always comes back to what is a physiological practice, you know, and I'll, like, here's just like there's a million different tools. I teach a million different tools. Every nervous system is a little bit different. So, you know, everybody has to find what works for them. you know, obviously the emotional freedom technique is great. We did breath work with Samantha Skelly. Like, breath work is an incredible tool. I really love anything that connects me with original source, with nature. So like taking your shoes off, standing barefoot on the ground, like the greatest, we cannot help but co-regulate with the earth when we get ourselves in nature. It is automatic. And something Zach Bush said on my podcast the other day is that nature does not hold trauma. Right? Like our body.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Nature does not hold trauma.
Nature doesn't.
That's very true. It's
nature like, doesn't it's hold like the trauma code patterns.
Back to healing.
Right. Code like, back so to regulation. If you're, you know, if I was an antelope in the desert, right, in the Sahara or on the Serengeti plain, right? And I'm being chased by a lion and I run and I'm fast enough that I outrun the lion. I stop and I shake.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the body does. That is like that's what happened. I don't know what happened with your wife after she gave birth, but that's what happened to my body after I gave birth. Uncontrollable, unbelievable shaking. To metabolize the stress and to signal to the body the threat has passed. But the problem is, as humans, we're like at our desks in front of our computer, and then we get an email from Bob in accounting and it pisses us off, or like we get an email that we are reading subtext into from our boss and we suddenly are thinking that they hate us or that we're gonna lose our job or whatever. Physiologically speaking, in that moment, we are having a response as though we are being chased by a tiger, right? And then we just sit at our desk and we don't do anything
with
about
that,
it. So we don't.
With that glucose. Even.
With that. The whole physiology of it is insane. The glucose spike, then the cortisol, then that whole thing. And no, and nobody taught us. I mean, you do, but like, no, most people.
No one taught me though.
Taught to feel their feelings. No, but now you do here at work, which is great.
but
no one taught you, right? You had to learn it, and so we have a million stress imprints in our body, like millions of open tabs in our internal emotional browser that are just open because we never completed the stress cycle of a bajillion moments
so
in our
many
lives,
times in our lives,
right? Animals, trees, grass, right? Like plants, they don't carry trauma because physiologically speaking, we are actually designed to metabolize the stress. We are actually designed to alchemize it and set ourselves free and just like move on with our lives. It's like stressful situation, shake, metabolize, I'm safe now. And so that piece to interrupt the cycle and retrain ourselves that like the solution is not in our cognition. The solution is not in the prefrontal cortex. Right. Like it is non-logical. The solution is let your body feel the feeling, move through something physiologically, feel your way, and then you will feel safe. And then it's amazing when we are in a more rest, digest, you know, stay and play nervous system state, we are unbelievably magnetic. We are more articulate. We are better communicators. We are way more creative. We're way more empathetic. All of those things make us way better at making money, which those things aren't available when we're in a constant state of contraction.
So hard when the world is, I think when we're just so addicted to things like browsing, scrolling.
And do you know why? Because it's a match for our neural patterning. It feels, okay, so here's what's really important to understand. Like we have this, I mean, I'm sure you already know this, but like we have a thermostat setting, right? That is how good can we feel essentially? And I think we have thermostat settings for different areas of our life. So like in terms of money or just a feeling of abundance, it's like how much abundance can you experience? And that thermostat is set according to what was the general emotional tone regarding money in your childhood home, in your environment growing up. And when we experience something that pops us above that thermostat, we will not experience it as positive. We will experience it as a threat because our nervous system wants to keep the thermostat setting as it is. So what's tricky about that is that most of us, everything we want financially is something that we've never experienced before.
Right.
But the tricky thing is that that thermostat is set according to not what feels good, but according to what feels like home.
Mm.
And so we will always, and I'm sure you see this in relationships constantly, we are like these little honing devices just gravitating over and over and over again to what feels like home, what feels familiar, because our survival brain, which is just trying to keep us alive, it's doing right. a great job. It's done it so far. Our survival brain is just trying to keep things the same. And we weren't told that you can actually change the thermostat setting.
Right.
But you can't change it with your mind. You can't just be like, okay, thermostat, let's reset to abundance.
Yeah.
It's like not that simple.
So where do you start?
So where do we start?
I'm like, oh, my nervous system's like, less zeros on that check. You know, it's like a mind fuck to think. Yeah.
Right. Right.
To think like if you're used to making a certain amount of money or you're in a job that has a maximum sort of earning potential and then all of a sudden you become an entrepreneur. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, but it's like you become an entrepreneur and then you're now able to, you get to the level of what your salary was. And so now you're in the place of safety again. Like here I am. I know what this I can do with $150,000 a year. Then you start to make more, but your system is like, do you get worse at sales then? And all of a sudden, well, are you like launching flop products?
That can happen.
Spending more money.
That's the one that usually happens. So what will happen is we make more and it's like, cool, great. And then we spend just right up to it.
Keep to the same.
For whatever our thermostat level of comfort is around abundance. It's like, how much extra can I tolerate? Or very common. So it'll be like, oh, we'll increase our business expenses then. So ultimately there's the same amount left over. Or if your tolerance level is for actually, like in my case, I have had a like my thermostat was set around stress and pressure. So it was like no matter what I did, I was using stress and pressure as my fuel for all of my ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I had to realize, well, as I'm going to just tell like the whole, is it okay if I just kind of like
get on it?
Go yeah, narrative. Go.
If you're listening to this podcast, then you're someone who wants to understand the skills of how to create epic love, right? And we can learn that. We can learn how to have great boundaries, how to heal from a breakup and move forward stronger, more powerful. We can, if we're dating, learn how to pick someone who's going to be an exceptional partner. If we're in a relationship, we can learn how to dive deeper. Now listen, part of change is understanding what is the skills I need to have to be able to create that thing. And the other part is community. Is being held accountable to the version of you that you desire to bring to this world. This is what the Create the Love community is all about. And I couldn't be more excited for you to have this opportunity to sign up. If you're listening to this podcast, the doors are open for you. Just go to createthelove.com/yes and get started right away on any skill set you want to learn. But more important than all of that, I do 2 live teaching and coaching calls a month. You'll get a chance to ask your question and get coached by me live. I can't wait to see you in there. createthelove.com/yes.
So my husband, Mike, was really sick for several years off and on. So he would be like, well, and then he would drop out for months at a time, which was very difficult when we had 2 young children. And our company is how we support our family. And Mike is my business partner. And so like it was very hard to know at any given time what the level of support was going to be because he was dealing with such profound physical issues. And so it was winter 2021. We had moved to Miami sort of under duress. It was like a whole, it was a very intense time. Suddenly we're like paying for 2 lives, you know, life in Miami, life in Maine. He's really sick. Like his full-time job is basically less trying to get well. And I'm like, okay, so I'm running the company, got the kids, new city. Da, da, da.
Wow.
And we're sitting with our, and my whole loop with him, really for years. Just, I mean, I made it about the sickness, but it was like,
now it's like just an exacerbation.
Yeah, exactly.
Of a familiar loop that needed to be healed.
It, for sure. It was the button that needed to be pushed, right?
Yeah.
So the loop was basically like, I always had to perform. I never got to just like go down. Like I was, even though he was in excruciating pain, he would never have chosen this in a million years. Like it was awful. And I would, it's like really dark and it still kind of pains me to say this, but I just really resented him. Yeah. And I was so.
Which is like a strange paradoxical emotion. Oof. Because it's like when you're a kid and a parent or a sibling has a chronic illness.
Yeah.
And so you're not important and you don't get the mother you needed or the father you needed.
It's like.
And so you resent them, but yet you're not even allowed to experience resentment or guilt because it's about them. So then you learn to disassociate and, you know, so it's a paradoxical feeling to feel when someone else needs you, but you actually are desperate to be a priority, which you have the right to desire.
You do.
You need to acknowledge the loss.
Sometimes the family is there. The family situation is such that, like, there's just not enough resources.
Right, right.
You know?
But the family needs to process the loss together to acknowledge it. But most families don't do that because there's fear of upsetting the person who's the priority.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So there we were processing it in therapy and our amazing therapist. And I had been in this loop of like, if Mike could just make money, all of this would be fixed. Like this was literally, it was like, if he could just be well, then he would be able to make money. And then all of my problems would go away. So I was in the classic.
I sometimes get that thought.
Sure. So do I still. Like, it's so addictive.
We'd have no problems if we had more money.
Yes.
And it's like, wait.
But I'm sure you know people with a lot of money.
Yeah.
We all do.
Right.
Right. And it's all relative, right?
Right.
Like, what's a lot of money? But like, I have never met anybody where more money got rid of their problems.
No, more money, more problems.
It just doesn't like so, but it's really our culture just like so conditions us that way. Okay, so anyway, we're just in this therapy session. That's part of the unraveling.
Yeah.
So we're in the therapy session and David has me close my eyes and he's like, okay, Kate, I want you to imagine that Mike just walked in the door and he says, okay, babe, so I just made $10 million. Oh. And now you don't need to work anymore. Like we don't, you're all good. You can put it down now. And David was like, now how does that feel inside your body? And I could not believe what I was experiencing, which is I felt dead.
Really?
Yeah. Like I felt flatlined, dead inside. And I was like, motherfucker, I am addicted to stress. Like, I wouldn't even know who I was without this level of pressure to perform. That if I imagine the cool thing about, this is why visualization works, right? The cool thing about the body is that our body has no sense of time. Our body doesn't know if it's 20 years ago, right now, 30 years in the future. I mean, it's amazing to work with our bodies in this way. And that's, you know, that's how the psyche operates. All time is now. And so when we go into those deeper states of consciousness and imagine these things, the response is real. And I was like, I need to really do some healing. So interestingly enough, just as Mike was getting well, he fell off his mountain bike and he broke his kneecap. So he couldn't walk. And then 18 months later, he got hit by a car and couldn't walk again. Yeah.
Mike, I'm sorry.
So it was
man.
Like, I know.
You've been taking hits. Literally.
Literally, like this period of time in our life was like, oh, are you going to learn it now? How about now? Like
the universe is like, we're going to keep taking Mike.
How about now? We're going to keep taking out the externalized source of what you think is supposed to finally make you feel safe and supported. We're going to keep taking it out and you're going to be given the opportunity 100 million times to find that safety inside yourself.
Okay, this does make a lot of sense. And as I'm like feeling into it, like when you talked about David's question to you, where is David's question in relationship to you getting Mike to fall off his bike and you getting Mike hit by a car? I'm just saying, like, unconsciously.
I am that, very powerful.
Yes, yes. How do you keep manifesting this shit? Manifest, you know,
well, so what's
bionic.
So interesting. So it's like.
But how far is that in the timeline? Like, are they.
Oh, okay. Like,
where is David in it?
So this session with David was in March of 2021. I then went on an experiment for 90 days. And I was like, okay, for 90 days, I am going to just practice anytime I like feel that ramp up energy of like, I'm going to launch this campaign and I know how to create money out of nowhere and I'm going to do this marketing thing. Cause that's how always how I had been like,
same.
Just the song and dance of
I'm
like,
kind of person I know is relating
yeah,
to your story.
Right. Okay.
A friend of a friend.
Friend of a friend. Asking for a friend. So I knew how to make results happen through showing up and performing.
Right.
From at least 50% fueled by stress and pressure. And also like life force and joy, because I really love what I do. But yeah. It was both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, just for 90 days, I had an amount in my mind that I would be willing to go into the hole, into our savings. I was like, okay, if I go into our savings X number of dollars, I'll feel fine. Like I could make that back, no big deal. Or I'll just stop this experiment at 90 days, whichever one comes first. Either we've gotten into the hole. The number was 125K for myself. And yeah. That's, of course, relative, like doesn't
of
even
course.
Matter. But
yeah.
Or 90 days. So I do the experiment every time. I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm panicking. I got to do this email. I'm going to do. I was like, no. OK, you're just going to go sit by the ocean and ask the ocean what she has to tell you. No, you're not going to do that, Kate. You are not going to go do 25 million things. You are just going to watch some daytime television. Nope, you're not going to do that. You're just going to lay on the couch. You're going to cry. Nope, you're going to go scream in the closet. Like whatever I needed to do every time I wanted to create something or work as a way to assuage my inner pain.
To try to regulate
through working and creating money. I was like, nope. Just what would it be like to tolerate just not? And after 90 days, we did not go into our savings at all. We hit and exceeded all of our goals. And I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, this is really interesting. Is this the birth of
relationship? Oh, and then, yes. And then Mike got hit by a car in the middle of that experiment. No.
Unbelievable.
No. He broke his kneecap in the middle of that experiment. And then 18 months later from that was when he got hit by the car. And at that point, I finally was like, this was a beautiful moment, actually, that we had. There were so many beautiful moments during this time. But he
Mike's
was like
taking hits, man.
I know. Such a poor guy. But he like really took it for the team.
Yeah. Like, sweet of him.
He was really like.
He's like, here's another lesson.
You know, it's like in the family, right? The designated patient.
Yeah.
It's like the system's broken and one person just keeps their body is like, hey,
yeah,
hey,
I represent
like,
the system.
Yeah.
I'm the canary.
I wouldn't have done the things we needed to do if he wasn't so sick and hurting.
What was the beautiful moment?
So the beautiful moment was Mike had just, when he got hit by the car, he had just come back from his first, he went on a Sacred Sons retreat. He had just gone to his first Joe Dispenza retreat. Like he was like in the best place of his life.
Doing all the
just like, so, oh God, it was great. And he just, and then he gets hit by the car. And he's like, I just was like feeling like I was just, because after so many years of being sick, it felt like he was finally well and like vital and returning to himself. And he felt great. And he was like, motherfucker, I just was feeling so good. I cannot believe like now I can't walk. Like his leg was like the car hit him here and his leg was like inside. Like,
or his knee broke
fully
again?
Yeah, same side.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like fully, like his leg was completely going the wrong way. Like it was bad. He had to have two surgeries, like move to a trauma center. I mean, it was not It was not a casual.
Your system, too. You're like, oh, my God, you got what? What happened? Yeah. You got hit by a car?
Yeah. But luckily, he had called me to say, okay, so I've just got hit by a car. What I need you to do is, like, drive down here. So I'm like, okay, at least if your husband gets hit by a car, you want him to call you.
Right.
And tell you. So at least part of me was like, he's okay because he could pick up the phone. He wasn't really okay, but at least, like, his brain
well
was.
Done.
So anyway. So we're sitting there and I'm like, what if, like, instead of making this the reason we can't have the life we want, like, let's just find all the joy we can with your broken leg, like with your mangled body. Like, we can just, like, what if this wasn't the reason we can't? What if this was just, like, the reason we can? Like, let's just like, have the joy now.
Problems.
Like let's stop waiting until, because I had been like, once Mike is well, once he can make money again, once, you know, I stop nursing, once always have the thing of like,
when
I can finally live the life I want, when. And it was his final accident that it was just like, no, like, we're just gonna do this life right now as joyful and as beautiful as humanly possible, with you just hobbling around on those crutches, living in your recovery recliner. And it was a month after that, we launched Relaxed Money. And it was the biggest launch we'd ever done.
That's amazing.
And it was everything that I had. I mean, I've been teaching about money since my early 20s, so it's like not new. But at the same time, this piece about the body and safety first as the precursor to abundance was absolutely the missing piece, and it has been for thousands of our students.
It's amazing too that the premise that we all operate with, like you're talking about, this if or when, then when that happens, then when this, then
when I have a six-figure year,
right,
when I, it's like just an illusion.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's so easy to get also caught in the conversation you're talking about, where if they then, which I could see that for, you know, just in Kylie and I's dynamic, it's with staying at home and not working anymore and then feeling more pressure from a place of providing. And then, you know, it's like I'm often thinking about a future moment that is different, that will be different than. And so I'm resonating so much with your, like, just now. And that unconsciously creates this resentment of the other person that is not theirs at all. That it is like, oh, I need the cortisol and the resentment to motivate me. But what happens if I, every time I feel the resentment or the pressure or the constriction, that I shut the fuck up and don't do anything and go put my feet on grass or hug a tree or
talk to a house plant.
Right.
Literally.
Right. Like, that's, it's amazing to think how, if you actually asked yourself, like, ask the plant, like, what should I do?
That's what I literally, like, did. Hey, I sat by Biscayne Bay. I sat by Biscayne Bay every day in Miami. And I said to the ocean, like, what do you got for me today? What should I do?
And is mostly that what brought you the info for, like, your launches and your what you should write or do or not do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Because you weren't acting from the urgency anymore.
No. And I will say, during that 90-day period, like, I had committed to myself that I would not start anything new. So I did not give myself permission to take action on anything that had not already been in motion, and I only fulfilled on my existing commitments. I just went into full coast mode, and I like, then having had the lived experience of like, wait, we could meet all of our financial needs and pay the team without me carrying it around like the burden of the century. Like,
right,
I could do this without clenching.
Yeah,
like,
that's such a different way of orienting, I would imagine, for most entrepreneurs.
Oh, my God, it was wild. But it's like the same thing as birth, right? So
Oh, yeah.
Clenching does not help the baby come out. It definitely impedes it. And so I think about that all the time in terms of the flow of abundance in our lives, whether that's creativity, leads, a baby coming out, a book, whatever, whatever your version of abundance is, like the clenching, the tightness just prevents it from coming through. And the more we can let go, the more we can relax, A, the less it hurts, and B, it is what gets it out. You know, we're really meant to be conduits of energy.
Should we all do this 90-day type of thing? Is that like one of the things you recommend?
It'd be interesting. A bunch of my students have. They like it. But I think we all have to create our own experiment, right? But our body does well with evidence. Because then when the mind goes back into, no, I gotta, it's like, no, but you've already repatterned. Like what happens after, I mean, listen, nervous system work takes as long as it takes. But the truth is, every time we signal safety to our body and every time we respond to a stimulus in a new way, it compounds just like compounding interest. So it's not like dental hygiene where like you have to brush your teeth the same amount every day for the rest of your life. It's not compounding, like your teeth are the same amount of dirty 24 hours later. Your nervous system is not the same amount of jacked up it was yesterday. So the breath work we did the other day, like the next time we do a practice, it compounds. And so every time you come back, you are starting at a new level of capacity, and it's infinite. And so what's cool after 90 days is you really can remarkably repattern yourself. And I now, my experience working, my experience making money, I am working less now than I was at that time. And our business is twice the size. And I'm just like,
you're like, this is not what Gary Vaynerchuk said to me in 2020. Although now he's more
now he's
relaxed stuff, which is great.
It's wild.
But okay. What is it that, I have another question about social media we'll come back to, but
okay.
I want to first hear, what is it that you completing the 90 days versus you post Mike car accident, sideways knee, what would that version of you tell the 90 day, like you've completed the 90 days, you've recognized, wait, I can just regulate by a plant and then I get
Talk to my house plant?
Right.
Literally. Yeah.
Which is actually so simple and so cool. And everyone fucking knows what you're talking about. Like, unless they don't have plants. And if you kill plants,
and
that's
a whole
other instruction.
And it doesn't work with fake plants, by the way. It does have to be alive.
Yeah, you can't be using a fake plant.
I'm just saying people would try.
Go to IKEA and get a real plant.
It could be a blade of grass. Whatever. That's, like it just any.
Get it. But get like a bird of paradise.
Totally.
You know, or, you know, what is the one starts with a Z and you only need to water it once a month? Oh, what is it
Zinnia?
Called?
Zinnia?
No.
That's the
only It's amazing. You water it once a month.
Wow.
I'll figure it out and I'll put it in the show notes.
I'm not that great with plants, I'll be honest.
You are good at talking to them.
I'm great about talking to them.
So I want to know what would post-car accident, what you learned there about being present.
Yeah.
If you could fast track the information to 90-day Katie, who learned that lesson, what would you say to her?
Okay. So we had this one moment where David, our therapist.
I called you Katie. It's Kate.
That's fine.
Do you ever get
my family calls me Katie. So
I upgraded. Like, it's very sweet. A little rapport.
They're the only people who do. It's cute. Okay, it's like my cousins, my aunts and uncles, my parents, my sisters.
I'm in.
You're in. You actually do, like, oddly, you look like my cousins.
Oh, really?
So I already felt like kind of a sense of like, oh, I'm with family.
We're fam.
It's nice. So there was this moment, different session with our therapist, different time, but right around that same time, March 2021, when, so the nature of my husband's illness was that his whole body was covered in an unbelievable painful rash where his skin kept falling off over and over.
Oh my God.
So I won't get into the gory details, but it was
ouchie.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And, visually speaking, really rough also.
I bet.
Like, yeah. So David had us, he was like, okay, Kate, is there a place on Mike's body that is not like an open wound that you can find to touch. So he had like one tiny spot on his thigh. And he was like, okay, I want you to just like put your hand there. And Mike, put your hand on top of Kate's hand and just look into each other's eyes and just like be there with each other. And when I just looked at him in that moment, I just like, when I really dropped in, all I saw was just like God shining through his eyes. And I was like, oh my God, like the amount of the fact that it had to get to that level of pain for both of us to remember, you know, the divine is in everything. We're all just being brought back to love. And like, oh, this is here for us to like, it is an invitation, right? Like, this is not my husband's like dropping out of life to spite me.
Right.
This is not that.
Yeah.
And so I had that one moment, and we had a few moments in there like that, but that were just absolutely beautiful, because the most painful experiences, right? They just bring us to our knees and we just come back to what's real, hopefully.
Yeah.
But so if I could take post car accident me and come back, it would have been to tell her like, babe, this is God. Like, this is love shining through. And like the more open, the wider you can open to receive like all the pain, all the beauty, all the like life that is here, the easier it's going to be. Because the clenching was intense. Like, I was just like, this is not happening the way my life is supposed to be. And it's his fault. Right?
Right.
But I was like, that's not what was going on. And so I think it was that. Like, it was, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the difference between me doing life like this with my, you know, if you're just only on audio, I'm like clenching both of my fists, to just me relaxing and opening my palms and just opening my heart. Wow. And just like letting the experience wash through me, as opposed to trying to control the experience and mold it into what I thought my life was supposed to look like.
So you would have maybe accelerated the letting go, the surrendering.
I think so. Yeah.
Did you know,
have like less rug burn.
Yeah.
No, exactly. No.
Yeah. How much more, like if you were at, let's say, 60% post 90 days, how much more did you need to let go?
If I was 60% let go post 90 days?
Well, what percent do you think you were? And then where did you hit the moment where you were like, exhale, you know, post shake, you know, as the antelope you were talking about?
What a good question. You know, I was probably at 50% after the post 90 days. But those grooves they're deep, right?
And right, like, right.
As I was saying,
we're talking about deep repatterning.
Neuro tags, every time they're used, they actually build up a coating called myelin.
Yeah.
And that myelination gets thicker every single time. It's like on an electrical cord, how it has that coating. Yeah. So you don't zap yourself. So it sends the energy where it needs to go. Our brain is the same. Our nervous system is the same. So it takes a minute, and that's okay. Right. Like, that's in the nervous system world, it's called titration, small doable parts over time.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be really like, if you're impatient like me, that can be hard. But that's why I like to focus on how it compounds every time. So let's say I was at 50% after that 90 day experiment. And then after the car accident, you know, maybe I was at 75%. And there's still a part of me that can get all agitated and activated. It happened this past spring. I was in a deep panic spiral about money, like for 2 weeks straight. I was like in such a dark place, and it was weird because it didn't totally make sense, but I was in this spin that I had like made a bad decision, and I was irresponsible, and I had screwed up, and it was like, ooh, it was like, and I was feeling panicked almost like all day every day. And so that's just to say that no amount of nervous system healing gets us out of being human.
Right.
And what was cool, though, is at that time I ended up being home visiting my mom and my sister. And so this is, I'm sharing a tool that can work for anyone. And I was just telling them that I was having a hard time. And I just decided to take a leap of faith and like tell them the details of the situation, which with money stuff can feel really tricky. Right. Like not everyone is a safe.
The origin of often the word.
Not everyone is a safe place to talk about detailed money. But I really recommend that we all find at least one person that we don't have shared finances with, at least one external person who is a safe person to tell the truth about money, because there is something so powerful when we speak words to financial shame, to financial shadow, to things we're scared of, that we've done, that we think screwed up, our financial lies, our financial mistruths, like that stuff. I mean, you talk a lot about alignment. That stuff will fuck you up in terms of your money, financial secrets, shame, all that stuff. So I'm just like there on my couch. I explain what's going on to my mom and my sister. And my sister starts to laugh, which was just the best response. Maybe it wouldn't have been for everyone. Yeah, it was great for me.
Yeah.
And she goes, so you're telling me that you're feeling like a complete fuck up and you're in a shame spiral because you overinvested in a retirement plan? Because that's what had happened. I had like, I won't get into the details, but I had like slightly misdone the math and like been a little aggressive with our. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, because that's like some good girl shit. She was just like, and it was an instant when we actually say out loud the thing that we're ashamed of, that we're afraid of, that we're keeping a secret about to someone safe. It is an instant unlock because of co-regulation, because I was feeling myself in the loving gaze of my sister, who she is just, you know, she is unconditionally lovingly. She is my biggest supporter. And I was feeling the truth in that, in my body, right? And probably helped that we have shared genetics.
Yeah.
And so it instantly changed something in my nervous system because I no longer felt like fundamentally, right? This stuff is deep survival stuff, right? So that deep shame and fear is like, I am going to be cast out of the group and I am going to die. Because I will no longer belong. Right? That's what's happening.
Same
in there.
Stuff with like, if you're a parent, you're a partner.
Yeah.
That you're like, I'm putting everyone at risk. Everything.
It feels
on the line.
So physiologically, it literally feels like life or death. But it pretty much never is. And if it actually is, so this is what's interesting. If we're actually in a real emergency, we will not. I promise you, we will not be. In the anxiety spin, the worry spin, anyone who's been in a real emergency, which is all of us, you know, a completely different part of you takes over and you get into action.
You
don't have time to think about it. When Mike called me and he's like, I just was hit by a car. I need you to do X, Y, and Z. I got incredibly calm. I got into my car. I drove there. I did what needed to get done. That I wasn't, I was 100% in the present moment.
Right.
Just like, boom. So the good news is if we are having a felt sense that there is a deep emergency, it's pretty safe to say that 99% of the time there is not. Because if there were, you would already be taking organized action to do something about it.
Mm. Do you think that in today's business world where... You know, we don't have, do they have Yellow Pages anymore? Probably not the book.
Which, there is yellowpages.com.
I was laughing. Someone had written a meme the other day about how, like, we don't want someone to know certain things about us, but we, like, literally used to have a book with all our addresses in it and our phone numbers. Like, is that wild? And you had to call to opt out. And I was like, that's such a mind fuck to think that we were like, I can't have anyone know where I live, where literally we had a book where everyone lived.
With your mailing address?
It's so weird, to think about.
It's really weird.
It really is. When I read it, I was like, oh, man, that's crazy. And it's like, never get your parents, never get in a car with strangers. Uber, hire a stranger to pick you up in a car.
I know.
Anyways, do you think in today's business world, where often... The belief is, which I'm playing with this, so I'm curious what you think, is that we have to have social media. And then what do you think happens for the nervous system in correlation to abundance? Because I think what the common narrative I witness, because I experienced it and now feel like I'm liberating myself from it, is that if I don't have this, let's just call it, it's usually Instagram.
Yeah.
But it might be TikTok for like a younger generation or depending on the demographic. For someone else, it might be LinkedIn.
Okay.
But there'll be like a specific one that we think
that's... Do people have FOMO about LinkedIn, I wonder?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, if you're a consultant.
Maybe, I don't know.
Or you're like cold, I get cold called on LinkedIn all the time.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, you build no rapport.
I literally just started a LinkedIn. I was like, maybe I should be on there. Anyway.
I like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But I don't like the cold calling. I actually think LinkedIn has, I think the people who try to get clients from it are often annoying and they're not building rapport before they're making ads.
Yeah.
But that's a whole, you shouldn't be doing that. You should learn how to build rapport.
And that's deeply rooted in scarcity. Because if we're jumping the gun, whether it's in a romantic relationship or in a sale, it is because we are afraid that there's like a desperation underneath there. So it's like that's related, even though I know that you're trying to ask me a different question. But like, I think it's important to
That's important to name.
That it's rooted in the same thing, which is fundamentally, I have a deep-seated feeling and fear that there's not enough.
Yeah, because then like I think that the systems or the social media platforms, but namely Meta, being Facebook and Instagram, triggers that, like actually hooks into the fear that if you don't post a certain amount of times a day and you don't actually do the things we desire you to do, then you won't get the performance, which there is truth to these things. And so I'm like, how do we do the nervous system money work that we're like still creating?
Yeah.
And maybe we're in positive relationship with these.
Yeah.
But I'd say we're not till we do what you're about to say.
Well, here's no what pressure. So I can only say what I've done.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a few layers here. Number one, I do not create my own social media content. When I got myself out of that, it was deeply healing for me. So not having the consciousness daily of like, what am I going to post? I need to be capturing this for like a hot take for a moment. Da, da, da. So like I approve everything that's on my social. It was all at some point, most of it written by me somewhere else. But like I started my business in 2010. I have like there is so much content and I've been writing weekly every week since 2010. It's like there's enough of my words out there to use in some what a way forever. We're good. So that was one massive unhook for me that was like, so great. Okay, so that's number one. Was the delegation of it and took me years to get there. So like that was not a day one activity. I mean, literally it's been like in the last 18 months that I'm not the one running my social. So that was great. Number two, I installed an app on my phone called ClearSpace. Do you know it?
No.
I don't know who made this app. I freaking love them. It basically, so you know how like on your iPhone setting the limits on different apps, you know how easy it is to override
them? You're and like, nice try.
You're like a little monkey, just like now it's your automatic thing, opening the app, overriding the, right?
Okay. Nice try, logical me.
Literally doesn't work.
Yeah.
ClearSpace, I'm like not sponsored by them or anything, but I should.
We are now.
If you're listening, ClearSpace, I would love to talk about you in an organized way. So what happens is it just has you set up your own integration for like whatever app you find addictive, which was for me Instagram. And so I have it on 3 times a day for 10 minutes. And when you go in there, you have to, there are so many steps you have to go through to go make it happen. And it gives you a breathing exercise first and then an inspirational quote. And then you have to do this other thing that by the time I've gotten in there, I'm pretty much out of my
like this
loop. Yeah. And then the 10 minutes is over. I get in, I get out. I still do my own comments, you know? So I actually like that. I'm very social. I create a lot of relationships there. So it's super fun for me, that part of it. But it has 100% gotten rid of any addictive scroll. And so I'm off the hook with it. And there's many days when I don't think to go on at all.
That's so great.
Which means, you know, do I have great stories and engagement there? Not usually. And I just don't care because my business model does not depend on social media. So
what drives your traffic then?
So we have a variety of sources. Certainly some of it's from organic social, but like being on other people's podcasts is great. Hello, here we are. Right. Like I do the analysis to see when people join our programs, you know, where have they heard about me, the stuff we do. And our affiliates are our number one. So people who are affiliates for our program, you know, organic social, my own podcast, Plenty, is a great driver for us. We don't do a lot with paid ads. Someday maybe we'll figure that out. I know we talked about that. And so I know, like, getting people on my email list is critical. Like, that's how we build relationships and make sales.
That's critical for
everybody. Ultimately a writer, right? So, like, that really works for us. But I don't do direct from social to selling usually. So it's not like if I don't show up there, my kids aren't going to eat, or like that I'll have to fire my team. So I've built in, and there's a million different ways to, I mean, you know this obviously, but like, let's talk about them. You can do paid advertising. You can be podcasting. You could use SEO. You can be on YouTube. You can be like, there's so, you can guest on other people's podcasts. You can be writing guest post places. You can get media in places that they're already getting tons of traffic. You know, you could guest write on Oprah Daily or whatever. Like, there's a million different places for traffic. And I think that because of the way that the algorithms and, you know, Meta have actually reprogrammed our nervous systems, it is this feeling that, like, if I'm not doing this, I'm going to be irrelevant, which according to the nervous system translates as I'm then going to die.
Right.
And I think that we really need to, this is why I am so diehard about getting people to a place where they feel safe enough in their body to be really clear about their numbers. Mm. Because if you don't have the data to actually look at it, well, is that true? Like, is that true? And you just look at the numbers. Well, where are my customers coming from? Where are the revenue sources? Is this actually critical? I know it helps for us, but I could absolutely run my business without it. And I like it enough to be able to connect with people that it's worth it. But I've built in all those boundaries because for me to be the one and the thing and the relevancy and that, not to mention, you know, cancel culture, which, you know, is like a whole other thing.
It's kind of being canceled though.
Yeah, cancel culture is. But I will say, like, I got really jacked up from 2020, 2021. And I think many
a lot of people did.
And it was really, you know, it was really hard because, like, my mom was getting canceled and people were holding me accountable for everything
for
she
mom.
Was saying. And it was like,
I love your mom.
She's the best. Yeah. And, you know, I don't agree with everything she says.
Fair.
Like any child of their parent.
And
hello.
I also recognize the, like, trailblazer she has been in the space of medicine.
100%.
That I'm like, she's earned a couple disagreements. She's earned the stripes to say things that people can disagree with because she said so many prolific things for women.
She absolutely has changed the game for women's health.
Oh my God.
A door opener for so many. And so, but like, I had some trauma to heal from
that. Makes sense.
That. And, you know, and I know, you know, we'll talk more on my podcast about your own relationship with social and like those trauma patterns, but that's real. You know, and like, I think that we could think like, oh, maybe it's not that big of a deal. Maybe I'm making too big of a deal for it. No. Like, I literally, there were times that I was so hypervigilant in my DMs because I really felt like if I didn't check every single 2 seconds, I was going to die. It was
unhealthy. Comment sections were, you know, have been savage. And I think we don't recognize that the nervous system can't differentiate someone in a comment section from someone in your living room.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why what you're talking about, this like checking in, what's before I take action in anything, whether that's money related or hypervigilance for anything, that I'm actually saying, let's go talk to the plant first. And it's, you know, it sounds funny, but it's like,
it really,
it's Yoda. You know, you're like in the company of a miracle, which is a plant, and the plant
that's not holding a trauma pattern in its being.
It's interesting. You're co-regulating with a plant.
I literally teach that in my programs because I live in a city, you know, I live in a condo, like green open space is not super available to me right now, which I'm working on changing. But like I do a lot of co-regulating with my houseplants.
That is to think like your way to wealth is co-regulating with your houseplant.
That's the take home message, folks.
Is that your new book? Co-regulating with the plant.
It should be.
This has been really great. I'm curious, is there anything that we've missed that you think is really imperative for people to know and take with them about abundance, their relationship to bringing in money, their relationship to their purpose and money?
Yeah. So, you know, ultimately, to me, abundance can be financial, but the feeling, the state we are actually seeking that we think money is going to bring us is available at all times. And that state is only available if we feel safe first. Mm. And that state is ultimately the experience of peak life force running through our bodies. That's where we all just want to feel alive.
Yeah.
And so to remember that, and then you forget a million times, and then you just remember as many times as you can.
Right.
But just to really know that, like, what we're actually doing here is just rewiring ourselves to build more capacity to let more energy run through our bodies. And that is ultimate abundance. And when we do that, it is wild how the world reorganizes and more financial opportunities do show up over and over and over again. But the cool thing is when you've already worked with your body to be able to more or less at will feel the way you want to feel at any time, which is more alive, you care a lot less about the financial stuff. Again, once your certain needs are met.
You know? Right.
So I think that's the take home message. It's like we're all just trying to feel more alive. And that's what this conversation is about.
Mm, to come more alive, to like actually allow our life force to live through us, to bring it all the ways we hide, all the ways we wear masks, to actually just continue to figure out a way to put less space between what people see of us and what
just
is
like
us.
Unkink the hose.
Yeah. Unkink the hose. I like that.
Yeah.
Great. Where can people find more of you?
You can come find me on Instagram at Kate Northrup. That will be me commenting back, but only 10 minutes a day. And katenorthrup.com is my website. I have a great guide for people who want to get started having a healthier relationship with money. And that's at katenorthrup.com/breakthroughs. And in that, I teach a little lesson on one of my favorite nervous system regulating tools for signaling safety. So if you want to practice with me, it's pretty quick. It's easy. You can do it anytime and no one knows you're doing it, which I like the secret tools. So you can get that for free over there.
Great. Sweet. We'll put all the links in the show notes. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.